and all of us are together. And even now, as I just come to preach, I think I'd like to pray as well. Lord, how good it is just to be together in your house, with you, with one another. And even now, Lord, as we come around your word, we just ask, Lord, that you would speak in that familiar voice, that sweet voice of yours, that you would speak to our hearts, Lord, and that we may know you in a very real and a very special way, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. What do you want? Jesus asked that question to a blind beggar one time. His name was Bartimaeus. I know that you know the story, and I know the story, and it's one of my favorite stories. Blind Bartimaeus, Mark chapter 10. And Jesus said to him, "What do you want me to do for you?" And I found myself thinking about that question this week. That if God was to ask you that question, what would the answer be? What do you want? And I suppose for different people it's different answers. Like somebody I know, mentioning no names, their answer would be, "I want a dog. I want a dog." And I know that if that question was asked to that person, the answer would be, "I want a dog." To somebody else, they'd say, "I want to lose weight. I want to lose weight. I want to lose 2 pounds this week, and I want to lose 2 pounds next week. Every time I look at a cake and every time I look at the chips, the weight just comes on. But if you ask me what I want to lose weight." Somebody else would say, "I want money. I want more money. Because if I had more money, I could buy more stuff. And I want more stuff." What do you want? Somebody might say, "I want more music. I love music. I want Ed Sheeran's album on vinyl. I want music." It's different answers for different people. But I know that there are people today that if you were to ask them that question, "What do you want?" they would say, "I want to be complete." There is one thing that they want, and they want to be complete. There's time for music, and there's time for dogs, and there's season for money, and season for cakes, and season for chips, and all of that stuff that we know and that we love. But there are some things that are more deeper than those things. And some people would say, "I just want to be complete. I want my life to be complete. I want to have a complete life." And that's the type of life that God is offering you. That's the type of life that he has for you, is a life that is complete. When I think about a complete life, I think about a jigsaw, because a jigsaw has so many pieces. And when all the pieces fit together, you stand back and you look at the picture and you say, "It's complete." And life is a little bit like a jigsaw. There are different pieces to our lives that fit in different ways, different shapes of those pieces in our lives. But when it all is put together with the hands of a God, then you have a life that is complete. Do you want a complete life? A life that is complete. Even Paul, when he wrote to the church in Colossians, he says, "So you also are complete through your union with Christ." And so if you're in relationship with Christ as you are, there is a completeness to your life. But what does a complete life look like? Well, I want to draw your attention to these words this morning. They're found in the book of Numbers, chapter 6, verses 22 to 27. And it is in these short verses that I think we can find what a complete life looks like. The Lord said to Moses, "Tell Aaron and his sons, this is how you are to bless the Israelites. Say to them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace." And so they will put my name on the Israelites and I will bless them. And it is in those verses this morning that I'd like to draw our attention. There are six areas what I think make up a complete life. And the first one is, the Lord bless you. You often hear those words, don't you? Bless you. In and around life. Somebody might say to you, Ah, bless you. What are they saying? They're saying something nice towards you. They're saying, I want you to be well. I want you to be okay. Ah, bless you. Has somebody ever said that to you? Have you ever said that to somebody? Ah, bless you. When Aaron said these words over the Israelites people, was he being just nice to them? No, I think it was more than that. Sometimes you hear those words when somebody sneezes. Have you ever sneezed? And out of the middle of nowhere, somebody will say, bless you. And then, like, it could be a stranger. You could be on a bus. You could be in a cafe next door. Chew. Bless you. Who said that? That's what we do. Has that ever happened to you? I'd be at home now and sometimes I might sneeze and Lauren would say, bless you. Well, nice one. Thanks very much. And so when Aaron said these words, the Lord bless you, over the Israelites' life, was there thousands of people all sneezing at the same time? I don't think so. No, it's more than that. When Aaron, who was a priest, which was the brother of Moses, when he says, the Lord bless you, he was commanding the blessing of God from heaven down upon the people's lives. What is a blessing? It's the divine favor of God. And so the Lord bless you, Nace Community Church. The Lord bless you, James. The Lord bless you, Joni. The Lord bless you, Dawn. The Lord bless each and every one that is here this morning. The divine favor of God is upon you. That's what a blessing is. It's knowing that God's favor is upon my life. And do you know something? That in those little verses, it all started with the Lord. The Lord said to Moses, tell Aaron and his sons to tell the people. In other words, the Lord wanted his people to know that they are blessed. And so it is with you. He wants you to know that you are blessed. So that when you leave this church today, and you go back into the life of your work life, your college life, whatever it is you do, that you're walking in the knowledge and in the assurance that you can say, I'm blessed. And it's not because of anything that I've done. In fact, it's more of a case of what he has already done and what he says over my life. You are blessed. The divine favor of God is on your life. That's number one. Number two. The Lord bless you and keep you. Now, that's one of my personal favorites. I like that one. God is your keeper. He has kept you. And he is committed to keeping you. It's what he does. Yes, he saves us. Yes, he loves us. Yes, he puts us on his shoulders and says, you belong to me. But part of the role of God in your life is that he is committed to keeping you. And so he has kept you to this point, and he'll continue to keep on keeping you because he's committed to you as you are to him. He's your keeper. And so he has kept you in faith. He's kept you in love. He's kept you in his family. He's your keeper. Do you know something? I think he's kept us from more than what we know. There are things that have taken place in our lives, on the journey of our lives. And as we look back, I think, and I know I can say this of my own life, you've kept me from more than I know. There have been things that would want to seek to pull you down and to discourage you and to have you in knots and have you on the floor. But because of the divine favor and because of his love in your life, he has kept you from stuff that has sought to pull you down. And he will continue to keep you as you trust in him and as you walk with him. The Lord is your keeper. But some people don't want to be kept. Some people don't want to be kept. They don't want to have the intimate relationship with God in their lives in such a way. They just want to do their own thing, go wherever they want to go and do it their way, do life their way. They don't want God in their lives in such a way, in such an intimate way, where they know the keeping grace of him in their lives. They'd rather just kind of, no, I want to do it my way. I want to go my way. I want to do what I do. But you've got to want to be kept. God will keep you, and he is committed to keeping you. But you've got to want to be kept. You've got to want to say, Lord, keep me. Keep me from the evil. Keep me from the wickedness. Keep me from the harm. Keep me on the path of life. Keep me on your will. Keep me in the center of your heart. Keep me in the church. Keep me. We got to say those things. We got to pray those prayers. You got to want to be kept. And God is your keeper. But know this, friends. There are some that don't want to be kept. And that's their choice. That's the way they want to do life. But for you and me, God is our keeper. And just continue in that mode to say, Lord, keep me. Keep me by your grace. Keep me by your love. I want to be kept by you. So number one, the Lord bless you. And the Lord keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you. Isn't that lovely? Isn't that a lovely picture? Now, I don't know if you've ever thought about God with a face before, but he has a face. And sometimes, because of the nature of our walk with God, because it's by faith, and because God is invisible, sometimes it can seem that he's a little bit faceless or he's out there. But God has a face. And if you want to know what his face looks like, all you have to do is, by faith, look into the face of Jesus. And if you can see the face of Jesus by faith, you're looking into the face of God. I remember all those years ago when the Lord Jesus revealed himself to me in a very special way. I remember the vision that I had from him. And part of that vision was, I seen his face. And his face was shining. His face shines. His face shines like the sun. You see, the sun that's out there on this lovely sunny day, the sun that's in the sky, that shines. And it won't stop shining because that's what the sun does. Even when it begins to get dim and even when it begins to get dark at night time, did you know the sun is still shining? It's always shining because the Lord's face is like the sun that is set in the sky that we look to, and you close your eyes and you can feel the rays of the sun beating down on your own face and on your own life. So it is with the face of the Lord. It will always shine, even in those dark times. But it doesn't just shine anywhere. I suppose it shines everywhere. But the Bible teaches that it shines on you. The Lord's face shines on you. It doesn't say a tree, and it doesn't say a turtle, and it doesn't say a whale, and it doesn't say a fish, and it doesn't say a monkey. It doesn't say any of those things. It says, the Lord make his face shine on you. And so the Lord's face shines with all of its brilliance on you. What does that mean? It means that he has accepted you. You are accepted by God. When you first came to the Lord by faith, he accepted you. His arms would open wide. And today, the face of the Lord shines on you because he accepts you. You belong to him. You are his child. And so the Lord's face shines on you because he accepts you. You belong to him. You're his child. He loves you. Number one, the Lord bless you. Number two, and that he may keep you. Number three, that he makes his face shine upon you. Number four, and be gracious to you. That's a description of God. That's a description of the Lord. The Lord is gracious. What does gracious mean? It means to be kind. It means to be gentle. It means to be understanding. That's how he is. He is kind, he's gentle, and even if we fall, he'll come down in a gracious and a gentle way, and he'll pick us back up. And even if we wander, he'll run after us, like a little child that's running. The father will run after, and he'll bring them back in a gentle, in a kind, in a loving way. This is what he's not like. He's not harsh. And he's not going to kick your door down. He's not going to give you a slap. He's not going to poke you and make fun of you. He's not going to mistreat you harshly. He's not going to be angry with you. He's not going to be stern with you. He's not going to look down on you. He's not going to give you a boo up the side. He's not like that. The Lord our God is not like that. Sometimes, if you've had an earthly father who's been a little bit like those things, you can see God in that way. But God's not like that. He's not like that. Take it from me, he's not like that. And I know people that know him as well. You know him. And you know he's not like that. Let's all agree, God's not like that. He's not like that. He's gentle. And he's kind. And he's compassionate. And he understands. And even for one that had no earthly father, I know that he's not like that. He's loving. The psalmist, David, said it in these words, and I think he said it brilliantly. Let me read these things to you. Psalm 103 says this, praise the Lord, O my soul, and all my inmost being, praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of his benefits, who forgives all of your sins and heals all of your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion, who satisfies your desires with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord works righteousness and justice for all the oppressed. He made known his ways to Moses, his deeds to the people of Israel. The Lord is compassionate and gracious. He's slow to anger, abounding in love. He will not always accuse, nor will he harbor his anger forever. He does not treat us as our sins deserve, or repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far he has removed our transgressions from us. The Lord doesn't treat you as your sins deserve. And he doesn't treat me as my sins deserve. If I get it wrong, if I say something wrong, if I make a mistake, he does not come down harshly, because the Lord is compassionate, because he's kind, he's gentle, he understands how weak we are, he understands how feeble we are, and so he is gentle with us, because he loves us. And so therefore, you can place your confidence in him. You can run to him. You can rely on him. You can trust in him. You can have faith in him because he is gracious towards you. Number four, because he's gracious to you. Number five, the Lord turn his face towards you. When I think about that little verse, I think about the picture of a father and his son. And actually, in the New Living Translation, that particular verse says this: may the Lord smile on you. Isn't that lovely? May the Lord smile on you. Paints a different picture. The Lord your God is your gracious and loving Heavenly Father, and He smiles on you. You can tell a lot about a person's face. You can tell when they're cranky. You can tell when they're upset. You can tell when they're happy. You can tell when they're not themselves, all by just looking at their face. Have you ever looked at somebody's face and you think, I can see that you're upset? And when you look into the face of the Lord, He's smiling. God, your loving Father, is smiling towards you. He has a smile on His face. Sometimes people see God in a total different light. They think He's up there with a big stick ready just to whack anybody out of it that does wrong. No, God our Father, the Lord, is one who smiles. And so when He looks at you, He looks at you with a smile on His face. When He looks at you, He's got a glint in His eye. He's got a smile on His face. When He looks at your life and He looks at you coming to Him, you're His child, and He's got a smile on His face. The Lord your God, your loving and gracious Heavenly Father, is the one who smiles towards you. And He turns His face towards you. Now, there are people in this world, and I know, and I've seen them, and they've done this to me, and they'll do this to you. They won't even look at you. I'm telling you now, they won't even give you the time of day. They won't even look at you. And if they do look at you, they give you an evil look. You know, they start closing one eye and start looking at you like thinking, who are you? They start kind of growling at you. Some people won't even acknowledge you. Has that ever happened to you? They won't even acknowledge you. But not the Lord. He turns His face in your direction and He smiles. Others, I don't know about others. They've got looks on their faces. It's hard to describe what they are, but you can be rest assured that this morning that the Lord your God, the one you love and the one who loves you, looks at you and He has a smile on His face towards you. And the last one is that He would give you peace. This is what God does. This is what the Lord does. He gives His people peace. And if you were to ask people, what do you want? Some would say, right, I want cake and I want chips and I want music and I want money and I want to be complete. But other people would say, I just want peace. If I had an ounce of peace, I'd be delighted. Oh, just give me some peace. Sometimes parents say, I just need some peace. Because of all the chaos in the house and the busyness of family life. You just need some peace. But God, your loving Father, gives you a gift. And the gift that is peace. Let me remind you of some of those familiar verses. John chapter 14 verse 27 says this. The words of Jesus. I'm leaving you with a gift. Peace of mind and heart. And the peace I give is a gift the world cannot give. So don't be troubled or afraid. And Philippians chapter 4 verse 6 and 7 says this. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. The Lord your God has a gift. You are His child, and one of those gifts that He gives to you is peace, especially in troubled times. Have you ever gone through a troubling time and you're thinking, I should be anxious, I should be feeling a different way, but I'm not feeling that way, I'm feeling quite peaceful. Even Joni shared that this morning. Some of our friends were looking and saying, you're so peaceful, Joni. She's like, yeah, I know, it's the peace of God. But God gives you peace, and you can rely on God. You can rely on the Lord to give you peace in those times when you need it most. It's a gift from heaven. It's not of this world. the Lord gives peace. And so this morning, what do you want? There are different things that you need and there are different things that you want. But do you want a complete life? The blessing of the Lord, you're going to know it. He will keep you, but do you want to be kept? Know that His face is shining on you. He has accepted you. Know that the Lord your God, your loving Heavenly Father, He's kind and He's gentle. Know that the Father that you serve, the Father that you love, and who loves you, He smiles upon you. And lastly, He gives you peace. And so this morning, that's the type of life that God has for you. Is a life where you can say, in the midst of all, I have a sense that I'm complete. That there's no pieces missing. That my relationship with Him is the strength and the core of who I am. That He is my Lord. He is my God. He is my loving Heavenly Father. And I am His. And I have a complete life. Is that the type of life that you'd like? And that's the type of life that God wants for you. Is a life where you can say, there's lots of things I may want, and there's lots of things that I may need, but at the core of it, I can say, I'm complete. I feel complete. I know that as I go on this journey, that God has me, will keep me, will watch over me. His divine favor is upon me. He's smiling towards me. He turns towards me, and He gives me peace. And so this morning, will you just take the opportunity, as we have some music playing in the background, will you take this opportunity just to respond to the Lord? And maybe if He asks you that question, what do you want? Maybe there's something on your heart this morning you'd like to ask Him for. And so as the music plays, just take this opportunity just to respond to the Lord. And know that He's offering you a complete life. Just take this opportunity to tell the Lord what it is that you want. And just to be filled by Him. And know that God is here for you. That He loves you, will keep you, and is with you, and smiles towards you.